I just love doing that sound effect because it makes me feel like I'm in an episode of 24. But I'm not. I'm in an island the size of a shoe all the way in the Middle East, called Bahrain. And I'm doing this podcast for digital natives who wanted me to share my project with their readers. So here I am. My name is Isra, or Ezra, as the foreigners call me. And I'm going to tell you my story. Not the story of my life, because no one could care less about that, but rather the story of the internet project that I started, called Mideast Youth. Why did I start Mideast Youth? At the age of 18, I gained an interest in the internet and all that it has to offer, and boy did it offer a lot, and no, I did not mean porn. This was about the time that the blogging phenomenon gained clout in the Middle East. Anyone who mattered had a blog, and anyone who didn't matter was on MySpace. I'm kidding. Anyways, I realized the huge potential of the internet. It's something people use to express themselves, which is fantastic, especially in the region where I come from, where free speech and political, social, or religious criticism is not just frowned upon, but even punishable. By imprisonment. Or torture. Or death. I'm not even exaggerating. It's really that scary. This is why blogging is way more than just a mere hobby here. It is really the gateway to freedom of speech, something this generation and the ones before us never experienced in our lifetime. However, I wasn't convinced with the power of individual blogs anymore. After literally 3 weeks of reading many, I lost interest, and couldn't bear to read another individual blog entry without expiring from boredom. In the Middle East, we needed something greater, and it's called dialogue. Often you do not see this happening in individual blogs. You see people talking a lot about themselves, and frankly, I stopped caring. Again, I figured we had to do something bigger than this, something inspirational, unique, and creative, something people can't get bored of, with more than just words on a screen, and with the potential to be really effective, and most importantly, something that empowered the many minorities who to this day are severely persecuted against and have never gained a mainstream voice. I began writing out a list of the problems in the Middle East, and then I began writing a list about the people whom I wish I could interact with but couldn't due to physical and political barriers, like Iranians, Kurds, and Israelis. So I started yet another blogging platform. And for the first few months, it was utterly laughable. I kept requesting that people come and join me, but no one did. All the big shot bloggers refused to link to me and most ignored what I had to say. This reaction motivated me to kick some butt, so I worked extremely hard. And after much work, a year later, MideastYouth.com officially became the most diverse group blog in the Middle East, which included Kurds, Arabs, Israelis, and Iranians, as well as guest bloggers in Pakistan, Afghanistan, the USA, Europe, representing many different faiths such as the Baha'i faith, the Yazidi faith, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and more. We even have tons of atheists and non-religious people. Everyone was writing and participating in our discussions, which included anything from current events to religious issues to personal stuff to culture and politics. As we grew, the challenge was putting this hugely diverse membership in one platform without having them kill each other. And then this became part of our mission. How do we make this possible? So the policy was that you engage in a fierce but respectful dialogue. This allowed people to converse like intelligent adults about the world's most the region's most controversial issues. Again, for me, this wasn't enough. My belief in technology and the way we can use it to literally improve people's lives by empowering them was too strong to stop here. Only 4 months later, I began our first campaign, the Free Karim campaign, which I started on the exact same date that my friend Karim Omar was in prison in Egypt for expressing his opinions on personal blog. I launched this campaign not just to free Karim, but also because I wanted to improve the quality of online campaigning. I wanted to use the internet to make a difference in terms of making as many people as possible aware and ready to take action, and we did that. How? First of all, we came up with a strategy. We wanted the Egyptian government to pay attention to what we are doing and to consider our demands. We succeeded in gaining their attention when we organized simultaneous rallies in over 20 cities around the world, 3 times in 1 year, which received global attention and coverage both in newspapers around the world and on TV. Secondly, we began publishing Karim's letters and translating them into Italian, French, Spanish, and other languages in order to make his words as accessible as possible by the rest of the world. We wanted to show Egypt that they can succeed in putting him behind bars but cannot succeed in silencing him and stopping him from thinking. Thirdly, we actively involved the international press by creating events worthy of attention, such as letter campaigns, and expanding our presence in the world by including countries like Brazil and India in our rally lists. A year and a half later, this campaign has made itself known very well, both in the internet and way beyond, especially when influential politicians, MPs around the world, and 13 U.S. congressmen began writing letters in support of our cause, either directly to the Egyptian president or to an Egyptian ambassador nearby. Oh, thanks for that. I didn't mean to brag. The Free Karen campaign proudly sponsors other campaigns, such as the New Earth 4 campaign, which is to secure the release of four young Chinese cyber dissidents. We also sponsor the Committee to Protect Bloggers and a campaign to support web journalists in Yemen. We do our best to help whoever comes to us for support, especially if they are inspired by what we have been able to achieve with our work online. Because of the overwhelming support we managed to generate with the Free Karen campaign, we began launching other campaigns knowing that we can achieve anything we wanted by empowering ourselves with this technology, including taking over the world. Not really, but we're getting there. Anyways, Medisuit.com now runs 12 campaigns and sponsors over 80. We have a record of firsts with our campaigns. For example, we are the first group of Muslims to launch a human rights campaign for the Baha'i minority, and we were also the first Arab group to launch a cyber campaign in support of the Kurdish minority. We continue to be the only ones running a Middle Eastern cyber campaign in support of migrant human rights. We are also the first independent youth group who single-handedly started a news network in Afghanistan, which currently operates in both English and Farsi. Aside from all that, we wanted a way to humanize people, to encourage people to get to know each other by giving them a more human face. So we started doing our podcast, and we were the first group blog in the Middle East to launch podcasts where we interview anyone from Afghan youth activists to Kurdish students to trans DJs in Saudi Arabia. And after podcasts, we realized the importance of videos. So we created our own video sharing community, which we have been working on since last October and is still under construction because it's not up to our high standards yet. At the same time, we created a more global video sharing community, which is also still under construction but is live for the public, and that's called globalvillagetv.org. The intention here is to serve as an educational platform to improve interfaith dialogue, activism, community building, and most importantly, awareness and education concerning the lesser-known religions, which are often persecuted against and misunderstood in our societies. Then we realized the importance of sharing images because it's an expression of culture. And since we were also different, we wanted a way for us to kind of show off our diversity, I guess. So how are we supporting ourselves, especially after all that we have achieved? To this day, we have never received any official funding other than two financial rewards. We achieved everything I described with a minimal amount of money. And for me, this is part of the inspiration when other people start coming up with similar ideas. You don't have to have a bucket full of money to start something like this. I started Medisuit.com with 50 bucks in my pockets. And now it's one of the fastest growing sites in the region. You know, it took a very long while for me to convince myself that these people don't actually exist. And I think when I figured that out, it was the most depressing moment of my life. To go back on topic, what is the intended future for Medisuit.com? Our plan for the future is to make the project entirely available in Farsi and Arabic. English was chosen as a language of communication as it is a unifying factor which eases communication between us, considering how diverse we are. However, we were painfully aware that through making that decision, we were faced with the exclusion of millions of voices. Fluent English speakers do not constitute a majority of the Middle Eastern population. So this is a challenge for us and a problem that we have to address immediately. Secondly, we want to make life easier for people with exceptional ideas. There are so many people out there who have good and creative ideas, but no resources to create them. And we want to be that resource. Why would we be a good resource? For all the projects that we sponsor or fund, we ensure 100% independence and claim no form of editorial control. This is what's needed. Frankly, I am so sick of all the NGOs who only support others if their projects echo a political or religious ideology or an agenda. It's time for us to scratch that and help anyone with an innovative yet peaceful idea if we want to see progress. I refer to this process as seeding a garden. And it sounds kind of cheesy, but bear with me here. It goes like this. Don't just water one flower, meaning one idea. Water a whole garden, meaning a whole set of ideas. A big and beautiful garden is better than one huge flower in a trash can. or something like that. I hope that makes sense, because I actually stole that line from Alanis Morissette, and I'm pretty sure she was writing the song about us. She means to say, you know, empower a whole army with what you are good at instead of just yourself. This is our strategy in the Middle East. People here really need this, and this became the second part of our mission statement, which now reads, to inspire and provide young people with the freedom and opportunity of expression and promote a fierce but respectful dialogue among the highly diverse youth of all sects, socioeconomic backgrounds, and political and religious beliefs in the Middle East. We use this freedom to create social change and to prove that the collaboration necessary for stability is possible. We are currently registering as a nonprofit in the USA. This is not part of the mission, by the way. This is back to me talking. And we're registering as a nonprofit and under the name the Middle East Youth Foundation. At the same time, we are registering MiddleEastYouth.com itself as a nonprofit in Pakistan in order to develop a regional presence. We are now going through the process of opening up windows of opportunities when it comes to finding donors and sponsors. So if you're interested, we want to hear from you. So it's time for me to end this right now, and I would like to give my big thanks to Digital Natives for giving me the opportunity to share my project with you all. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. It's actually just an MP3 file. I don't know why people call it podcast. And thank you for listening and putting up with my really bad sarcasm.